Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, this is Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Glad you could join us again this week as we enter the wild and woolly world of the World Wide Web. How's that for alliterative introduction? Yes, indeed. Today is July the 8th, which is a Saturday. This being a Saturday morning, it's a good thing that it's a Saturday. Otherwise, it wouldn't be Saturday. Let's not think about that too long. It's too deep and philosophical for me at this point in time. But at any rate, it is July the 8th. 2006. See, I'm still getting used to the fact that we're in the 21st century. I'm still kind of back in the 20th century. I mean, after all, I lived most of my life there, and it's kind of hard to get used to being here. Am I confusing you? Not my intent. But it is 2006. It's not 19 anything anymore. Kind of sad, actually. I kind of miss the 19s. It was easier to deal with somehow. But I digress. Let's go on. I know, we're starting off on a weird foot. But hey, that's just the way it's going to be today. Okay? We've got so much to talk about. I just don't know that we're going to get it in 30 minutes. I try to keep the podcast down to 30 minutes. It ain't going to happen this time. I just got that feeling. It's in my bones. I feel that the podcast will go longer. Yes, indeed. All right. This is, after all, Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, the podcast number 44. 44. Just for those of you that want to know. There's so many things happening. So many things happening. You know that I'm really incensed about this whole net neutrality issue. I'm just not pleased with the way that our fine government is dealing with this issue. Because you see, this week, there is a very famous diatribe by Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska that has gone around the internet. You may have already heard it. Talking about why he... Now, before I go any further, let me explain a little bit about Ted Stevens. Ted Stevens, unfortunately, is a Republican, okay? And many of you may not know this, but I, too, am a Republican. I'm very conservative. Typically, I'm very much rah-rah for the Republicans. But Ted Stevens is an embarrassment to me and my party because the man has no clue, okay? Now, I'm an eclectic individual politically. I'm quite socially conservative. I'm conservative on a lot of issues. However, when it comes to net neutrality, I might be classified as extremely leftist. And that's very strange, I know. Because it seems that if you divide the left and the right, net neutrality seems to fall on the left. And I don't quite understand that, because net neutrality to me is all about the First Amendment. It's all about us having the right to decide our own destiny on the web. And those things, to me, are Republican issues. And actually, maybe I'm overstating this. I mean, I've found that there are a lot of people on various sides of the political spectrum that are for net neutrality. Now, you might ask, and I know we've talked about this in the past, what is net neutrality? Net neutrality is the idea that the internet was originally founded in a fashion that is not controlled. It is very open. Okay? If I set up a node on the internet, and then you set up a node on the internet, and we agree to talk to each other, the bandwidth that exists between us is whatever it is. You know, if you have a tiny little wire and don't have a lot of bandwidth and you're connected to me, well, that's just the way it is. If the person that I'm connecting to has a T3 line and has a ton of bandwidth, well, that's just the way it is. You pay for your own bandwidth, you connect, everyone connects to the same internet, and we're all, it's really all up to us as to what we do. But let government regulation get involved in this, and you start having the haves and the have-nots when it comes to the internet. And no longer is it just one big free and open place that we can all do whatever it is that we're going to be doing, but there's the possibility that some of us would be regulated to the background, so to speak, you know, background noise of the internet, and then the people with the big money would be up on the super highway of the internet instead of the back roads, the dirt roads. Now, that's just kind of a allegorical way of looking at it. But here's the deal. Ted Stevens, Republican senator from Alaska. Now, get this. He is the chairman of the Senate Commerce Committee. And he voted against net neutrality, basically voting for regulating the internet. Now, why did he do this? Well, him being an expert on these things, let's listen to it from his own mouth.
To support this, to provide streaming stuff going on the internet. Now, the internet, you know, let's go back. Internet started with a concept of local-to-local connections across the country. You could go for Air Alaska, but you had to go through local connections to get there. The industry wisely provided for streaming, for in effect a new kind of long distance, and that's what we've got. We've got a service that's immune to distance, and it's there for the consumer. But when we take indicate that anyone that wants to use this system for massive commercial purposes. There's one company now, you can get sign up and you can get a movie delivered to your house daily by subscription by delivery service, okay? And currently it comes to your house, you put it in the mailbox when you get home, and annually or monthly you change your order. But you pay for that, right? This service is now going to go through the internet, and what you do is you just go to a place on the internet and you order your movie, and guess what? You can order 10 of them, and it's delivered to you, and this delivery charge is free, right? 10 movies streaming across that internet. And what happens to your own personal internet? I just the other day got internet was sent by my staff at 10 o'clock in the morning on Friday. I got it yesterday. Why? Because it got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the internet commercially.
See? Now, let's review what he just said. He just said that one of his staff sent him an internet. Now, an internet is really big. Okay? I mean, if you were to send the entire internet to someone and you got it the next day, that's pretty good, I would think. I mean, you know, all of the entire internet delivered to him in one day, pretty doggone good. I mean, I'd say he's got decent bandwidth, but he's complaining. He's saying, they sent me the whole internet, and yet, look, it took a day to get it. I mean, come on. You know, just wanted you to catch that.
We want to talk about the consumer. Let's talk about you and me. We use this internet for communication. We're not using it for commercial purposes. We're not earning anything by going on that internet. Now, I'm not saying you have to discriminate or you want to discriminate against those people. I'm not saying we haven't seen anything yet that indicates there is discrimination. And until you can define it, I'm opposed to the concepts that are applied by your recommendation. we have if we have already have unfair competition. I've already said if you want to make a special provision with regard to antitrust laws, and as a matter of fact, that's going to come out of the Judiciary Committee. We made an agreement, I don't know if you know this, with the Judiciary Committee. We would not deal with antitrust concepts in this committee. They're going to look at the Internet from the point of view of antitrust, and they're going to report something concerning antitrust to the floor, and we'll decide whether we add that to this bill or whether they have to do it separately.
Now, there's an interesting point there that I will comment on briefly, and that is Google has brought a lawsuit, or is beginning to bring lawsuits, concerning antitrust issues, because the very legislation that he voted against, in other words, and this is kind of maybe a little twisted and complicated, but basically what it boils down to is, by voting against this legislation, he has set in motion a situation where there will be those who have an unfair advantage on the internet, and that is an antitrust violation. And so Google is probably, it looks like, bringing lawsuits to bear to fight it in court from an antitrust viewpoint. Now, what he said there was, I don't know if you know this, but we've decided we're not even going to cover the antitrust issues. We've turned that over to the Judicial Committee, so we're not even going to talk about it, but still, we're going to vote this down. Anyway, I could keep playing it, but the bottom line of all this is the guy is clueless when it comes to it. He's got the whole internet sent to him in one day, and he's not happy. I mean, come on. There was another point when he said, you know, basically in order to explain the internet, let me tell you that it's just a bunch of tubes. It's all a bunch of tubes. Boy, this guy really is clueless. And as far as playing something really weird and funny this week, that's the weird and funny thing we'll have for this week, okay? Because it's just, but it's sad. It's funny, but it's sad that the guy got the internet sent to him by his staff. I mean, what was his staff doing sending him the whole internet anyway? You could just send a little bitty piece of it, and it would get there faster. I know. I'm a little tense about it, but folks, we got to do something. Write your senators. Write them. Mail them. Call them. Do whatever it takes. Go to savetheinternet.org. Find a way to stop the madness. Thank you. Thank you very much.
This is the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here.
All right. It is the Tech Podcast Network, and here we are talking about tech. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and I wanted to interject that. Now, let's go to our tech news. As I say, we might run a little long today. As long as we're talking about legal issues, let's talk about how a judge this week tossed out most of SCO's anti-Linux lawsuit against IBM. There may yet be justice in the world. SCO is more evil than Microsoft, and you know that I tell you often that Microsoft is the evil empire, but SCO is scum. Cruddy, green, slimy scum under the boot of Microsoft. Yes, I don't like SCO. Can you tell? Anyway, what SCO did is they decided, dude, we are going down the tubes as a company. We're about to go under. Our stock is being devalued. We've got nothing to lose. Why don't we sue IBM and just sue their socks off and make all our money off of litigation and just forget this whole tech business stuff? And so that's what they did. And they claimed that Linux is an open source operating system. Linux began by Linus Torvalds. That's how he pronounces it. Linus Torvalds, he sent out an email to the internet and said, hey guys, I'm about to write a kernel for a free and open operating system that will be a clone of Unix, quote unquote, using the Minix code kernel. And so, why don't you guys come in and help me? And so everybody got together that was interested and started writing code. And before you knew it, over time, over the years, this was about 1991, 92, over the years, an operating system developed from the ground up, open source, collaborative effort of many people giving their time, effort, and energy, and created an operating system that rocks. Okay. Now, what Sco did is said, you stole our code. You put our code in Linux. You're evil. Whine. Of course, it wasn't true. The Linux community immediately said, wait a minute, we can prove. And then they showed the code and showed that it was not true. However, Sco said, yes, but we have proof. We have proof. We have proof. And they wouldn't show it. Now, if you have a multi-billion dollar lawsuit against a huge company like IBM and you're in court, wouldn't that be a good time to show your proof if you had any? But of course they didn't, because it wasn't there. So finally a judge, a U.S. magistrate this week, just got sick of the whole thing, said, you guys are wasting my time, you're wasting the court's time. He just threw the $5 billion lawsuit, most of the, there was like 182 of the 294 claims, he just said, forget it. Wells, the judge, ruled that Sco had produced virtually no proof of their allegation. Well, why do you think that is? Perhaps because there really isn't any proof? Because it's all bogus? So justice is being served. Hallelujah. Okay, next item. Microsoft Office Live demo hosted on Linux and Apache. Now, this one's very interesting. I cannot vouch for the validity. This is something I read on the internet and I blogged about. But basically what it boils down to is, if you're Microsoft and you want your demo of your new Live Office to come off really, really well and be very reliable, what are you going to do? Well, you're certainly not going to put it on a Windows web server, are you? No, they used a web server out of Sweden running on Linux, running the Apache web server software, and this guy who was interested in it, he went out and, you know, he checked with Netcraft, which is a place, if you go to netcraft.com, you can, there's a little place there, you can put in any website domain and see what they're running, which, by the way, if you were to do that with thecomputercurmudgeon.com, drbillbailey.net, all the different sites that I host, you would find that I'm running CentOS Linux, which is a free and open version of Red Hat, and Apache for the web server software. So I practice what I preach. Yes, indeed. Now, he found out that this particular company that Microsoft chose to host their Live Office, runaware.com, when they checked it out, it was running on Linux and Apache. How embarrassing for Microsoft. Oh, well. I just loved it, so I had to blog about it. Next item, academics break the Great Firewall of China. Well, you've heard of the Great Wall of China, right? Big honking wall that was built however many hundreds of, I don't know, maybe even thousands of years ago. What do I know about the Great Wall of China? But at any rate, China has tried to make sure that their people do not have the freedoms that we cherish and love so much here in the United States of America. And just having passed the July 4th holiday, our Day of Independence, let me say that I love America. I really do. And I think it's the greatest nation on earth. Salute! China, on the other hand, wants to make sure that its people don't have the freedoms that we love and that we cherish so dearly. And so what they did is they created a software firewall that prevents their people from, for instance, going to Google and looking up things that they don't want them to see, like, oh, I don't know, Tiananmen Square, maybe? People being crushed by giant tanks rolling over innocent students? Duh, they don't want their people to see that. Matter of fact, they just kind of ignore that it ever happened. So they created this massive firewall, analogous to the Great Wall of China, and academics at the University of Cambridge, dude, broke it down. Ah, gotta love that. Yes, indeed. You can read all about it, what they did, how they did it, by clicking on the link in the story on my blog, Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, the blog, which is at thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Academics Break the Great Firewall of China. Check it out. All right, next item. Geek Software of the Week. You know I love Geek Software of the Weeks. I love to share these things with you. This is a good one. Okay, now I'm from the South. You know, I know we've got people that listen in Ireland and England and all over the place, and sometimes I wonder what in the world they make of me and my accent. Hey, guys. Hope you're having a good day there. Anyway, bottom line is that a good one means it's an excellent piece of software. This is open source. Well, I don't know if it's open source necessarily, but it is free. Maybe it's open source. Really don't know. But at any rate, it is free. And it's called YKill. Now, here's the thing about really running anything on any operating system. You crank up a process, it's running something, you know, puts up a window, and blah, blah, blah. It's going along doing its thing, and it locks up. What do? In a lot of cases, you reboot the operating system because you can't get the stupid window to close. All right. If you're running Linspire Linux, there's this cool little deal you can do where you can click on this thing, drag it over to a window that's locked up, and then release it, and the window just goes ba-doom, and it's gone. It kills the process like a ninja. Hi-ya! Yes, kills the process and cleans up the system, and everything is good. And I've often thought, man, I wish there was something like that for Windows. Well, now there is. YKill. This week's Geek Software of the Week, absolutely free. Go download it. It will close and kill applications that have stopped responding. We're talking about a window that is sitting there, and you control, alt, delete. You try to kill the process. It just goes, I'm not going. You can take YKill, move the little skull and crossbones guy over the window, and go, nah, and kill it dead. We kill bugs dead. I'm in a weird mood. Can you tell? Yeah. Anyway, very cool software. Download it. Enjoy it. It will be lovely. Used it actually this week. Had a window that wouldn't go away and killed it. It's just so refreshing to be able to do that. Anyway, next item. You may have noticed something about the blog. It may have been a shock to you, and if it is, I'm truly sorry. I now have AdSense ads on the blog. I'm sorry, but, you know, sometimes the doctor has to have help paying for the bandwidth and paying for the things that I do, folks, so don't think ill of me because I put ads on the blog. Okay? Please. I tried to make them